So this retreat, being a integrated daily life practice retreat, the instructions that I'm offering this week will be applicable to navigating being mindful, being connected with your experience throughout your day. The kind of teaching that I'm going to be offering this week is inspired by, I can't say it is his teaching, but it's inspired by, it's been filtered through my own practice and experience, but has been informed by, is really based on in many ways the teachings of Sayadaw Utejaniya, teacher I met in Burma about 16 years ago now. And what I so appreciate about his teaching, I went to his monastery and practiced, went to the meditation center in Burma and practiced for about 6.5 weeks the first time I went. And the practice that he offers is applicable. The same instructions are given whether you are practicing on a long retreat, like I was doing for 6.5 weeks at the meditation center. But the same instructions are applicable for daily life. So this is a practice that carries off the cushion, but the same practice can be used on the cushion. And for me, this is my main practice, whether in daily life or in sitting meditation. So I'm going to be offering a practice that can be useful for you in the sitting practice. And if you do a particular kind of meditation practice, if you have a particular practice, for instance, a focus on the breath or something, it's fine to continue with that, although it might be useful this week to explore doing the practice that I'm offering during the sittings that we have together, just to see how it works as a sitting practice, as a formal meditation practice as well. The difference, the instructions, actually, the instructions that Sayadaw Utejaniya offers are so simple. I can summarize it in about 4 sentences. Relax is often the first thing he starts with. Notice that you're aware. Just notice that you're aware. And then what are you aware of? What is awareness knowing? So not to choose or direct or figure out or try to find something to be aware of. You just relax and know that you're aware. Recognize kind of what's obvious in that moment. What's obvious? And then to also, from time to time, be curious about how you are in relationship to what is obvious, how you are in relationship to what is happening. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you want something to happen? Want something to stop happening? Confusion, calm, ease, peace. So, how are you in relationship to what is happening? So that instruction, that those teachings, they work whether you're sitting in meditation, sitting quietly with your eyes closed. You can know that you're aware, receive experience, notice what's obvious. When you're sitting like that, if you're sitting in a formal meditation practice, the physical, let's say the physical experience is much simplified. You know, the body is more still. There's not so much movement. We've simplified our relationships because we're working just with ourselves. Not so much we have to plan or do. We've let go of that for the time that we're sitting. And so there's a simpler container that can begin to allow the mind to see more clearly into a whole host of things going on internally. When we're in daily life, there's so much going on, plans, things I need to do, people I need to have conversations with, activities that we need to do. So there's a lot more kind of in the external world, perhaps we could say, in the external world that is happening. And often that's where we get lost. Often that's where the mindfulness just like takes a hike, and we may even have the belief or the idea that I can't be mindful in that time or in that situation. And yet what this practice is doing is just basically saying, well, can you be aware? Are you aware? And there's much more capacity we have for awareness than we realize. We can be aware of pretty much anything. And so in our daily lives, what, you know, are we, am I aware? Can I relax in this situation? Am I aware? What's obvious? And then how am I relating to it? And so the instructions don't change from sitting on the cushion to being in daily life. And yet what really does change is, we could say, you know, the what we are aware of is pretty different in daily life in terms of, you know, activities and conversation and things like that versus when we're sitting. So the, what we could call the objects of meditation change, but the practice does not change. I love that about this practice because it becomes so seamless. The practice on and off the cushion becomes so seamless. There's a transition from stillness and silence more into movement and activity. But the curiosity about awareness and what is happening, that can carry on. And there's a lot that we can learn about what's happening in our lives, in our minds, and how in our daily lives we get caught by our habits and patterns. We get caught by old ways of being, of reacting. And often in the rapidness of daily lives, the mindfulness we haven't had a chance to cultivate the capacity for mindfulness in our daily lives. And so we're just carried on by our reactivity in our daily lives, as opposed to being able to learn something about what's happening. As we learn about our minds, as we bring the kind of attention we bring in our sitting practice into what's happening in our daily lives, as we learn about how our minds respond, there's a beautiful process that unfolds, a beautiful, natural, kind of almost organic process that happens if we are attending to our experience from a perspective of curiosity, of what's happening, how is this human system engaging in the world? What is it like to be a human being that's having this conversation and feeling a reaction about it, feeling frustrated about it? If we have that perspective on being with ourselves in our daily lives, that kind of awareness has a power to it, a potency to it. It's essentially, it's right mindfulness. It's wise mindfulness. It's a mindfulness that is not judging, not reactive to what's happening, but is just curious and interested in what's happening. And that kind of mindfulness, really, the Buddha was brilliant to notice and recognize our minds have the capacity for this kind of awareness. And what that does for us is it begins to give our minds a different kind of education. This is true on and off the cushion, this the way mindfulness works, essentially. When mindfulness, that kind of non-judgmental mindfulness, begins to see how the mind gets caught in reactivity, and that reactivity is painful, aversion, when we recognize it with that kind of non-judgmental mindfulness, the system feels the struggle of it, the stress of it, the pain of it. And because our systems are built, designed essentially to move in the direction of well-being, to move in the direction of Yeah, I would just say to move in the direction of well-being. It really does feel that our system is designed to move us towards more ease, more peace, more calm. And yet our systems are also built that they that ideas about what we think ease, peace, and calm, how we can get ease, peace, and calm can get in the way of a deeper kind of ease, peace, and calm. And so when we start just looking at our experience from this perspective of what is actually happening, our system gets a new kind of education about, like, when aversion is arising, that aversion itself is already stressful. Aversion has convinced us, and greed, both greed and aversion have this kind of experience, that greed also has a unpleasant, painful quality to it. There's a holding, a constriction to it when we want something and we don't have it, a feeling of lack, a feeling of something's wrong. And so both greed and aversion have this quality of stress, of suffering. And yet, when we are caught in aversion and greed, we are basically caught in the belief or the delusion of that aversion and greed. If I get this thing, if I get rid of this thing, then I'll be okay. Then I'll be better. Then I'll feel fine. And so essentially, aversion and greed, when they are in the fore, first of all, we're not noticing the pain of them. When we are caught in the view of them or in the belief of them, I need to get this thing in order to be okay. So we're not actually experiencing in the moment. Our system is not understanding that the aversion itself, the greed itself, is painful, is stressful. And it believes that if I get that thing, then the stress, then the feeling, then the mind will feel better, then the body and mind will be okay. And there is a way in which, when we get the thing, when we get rid of the thing, the greed and the aversion go away. And so we get a moment of that kind of release from that stress of the greed and aversion. And then we've also got something, if we've gotten something from getting something that we wanted, we have that thing potentially that's pleasant, that also feels pretty good. Or we've gotten rid of something, we feel like we've gotten some control, that also feels pretty good. And so we get this, like, double hit of both the aversion goes away and the thing that I didn't like goes away. And so that feels pretty good. And so that pattern just cycles and gives the mind the belief that acting on aversion is what's going to do it for me. But we are missing the fact that aversion itself is so painful. And so with mindfulness, we start to be curious about these patterns and habits. And so we get familiar with the fact that aversion itself is unpleasant, that greed in itself is unpleasant, painful even. And with that information, our system then begins to understand and recognize that is not the way to well-being. And so it's like our system begins to adjust, getting this, we could say, more accurate information about what's happening for us as human beings. And so the seeing of the habits and patterns of our mind, the ways that we caught, the ways that we struggle, the ways that we suffered, the seeing of that, just the simple witnessing of it with wise mindfulness has a power to help our system begin to let go of them, begin to kind of reconfigure, begin to learn to do things in a different way that is more conducive of ease and peace. And so we don't actually have to figure out how to get to ease and peace. Our, with the capacity of wise mindfulness, that really helps us to move in the direction of ease and peace. And so in our practice, we cultivate this capacity to recognize what's actually happening in the present moment. So we do this both on the cushion and off the cushion. In our daily lives, the things are happening so quickly that The attention is shifting from one thing to another so quickly that if we've been practicing on the cushion, a practice that is more focused, where we pick an object, stay with the breath, for instance, just settle the mind, calm the mind in that way, then we haven't been training as much the capacity for mindfulness to be able to track the movement of the rapidity of what goes on in our daily lives. And so this is we explore in this practice, we explore a different style of mindfulness that doesn't rely on picking a particular object to stabilize the mindfulness. So this is a very common meditation instruction, to pick a particular object, such as the breath, and stay with the breath. If the mind wanders from the breath, we come back to the breath. This is a way to stabilize mindfulness. We know that we're attending to the breath, and when the mind wanders, we just bring it back. So that's a way that we're cultivating the capacity for being aware through being with an object. And yet, that kind of practice is not so useful in our daily lives. You know, we have to be thinking about other things. We need to be planning. We need to be doing a lot of things. And it's much harder to kind of stay with the breath and be planning to do something in our daily lives. And so this practice uses more of a receptive kind of awareness. In fact, that's often what I call it, receptive awareness. So rather than directing or choosing or picking what we're going to pay attention to, we just check in if we're aware. You know, am I aware? And I'll talk more about that in a minute, because that is not so obvious at times what that even means. It's something that we kind of, it's so close to us that we miss it sometimes. But we can check in that we're aware, and then just see what is awareness already aware of. So just receiving that. So that's the kind of the basic picture of the form of practice. We have a more receptive style of practice, in which we are looking at what's happening, the entirety of our experience, and also checking in and in terms of how we're relating to the experience. Not choosing what we're paying attention to, but simply receiving. And the process by which this is freeing is, it can feel kind of mysterious in a way, but you do begin to experience the trust that begins to develop with this practice comes as we begin to experience a shift when, instead of being reactive, instead of just, you know, something's happening and I don't like it, we know, oh, that thing's happening and there's aversion happening. We know that in that moment, and we experience a shift from what it means to be reactive to what it means to be with reactivity. And the shift there is, it's not always experienced as more spacious, but very quickly our mind begins to recognize that being aware of reactivity and being with it in that way is less stress and less suffering than being reactive. And so that shift begins to give us a little bit of feedback. Oh, this is a different way. When we initially, the very first times, and I think many of you have been practicing for a while, so you're familiar with that shift, I think. Many of you are familiar with that shift. Of becoming aware of a reactivity. And it's like, oh, right, that's what's happening. And there can be a little bit of settling, a little bit of space that happens there. But when we first notice it, you know, when we first shift into it, it's so startling. When the very first few times I became aware that I was angry, for instance, it was like, oh my gosh, I had been so caught in the anger, I hadn't been aware of the pain of the anger. And becoming aware, it's like, wow, that hurts. You know, so it was a little bit confusing to me about how this could work, but pretty quickly I could see that, you know, being caught in that anger meant that I was just charging away with it and I was not even in control of myself. And when there was that awareness of that anger, there was some space to make some different choices and to kind of, essentially, I began to see that being aware of it allowed it to kind of run its course. It didn't necessarily stop immediately, but it ran its course. And then there was some space to be able to respond instead of just being caught in that reaction. So pretty quickly, we begin to see the difference between being reactive and being with the experience of reactivity. And so that is what we are doing in this practice, in throughout our day, is kind of curious about what's happening and not necessarily trying to do anything with it, but just being aware, oh, this is what's happening in this situation. Oh, this is what's happening in this situation. And we can cultivate the capacity to maintain an awareness throughout a whole host of ups and downs and things that go on in our daily lives. And there are times that we need some tools that help us out. And we'll talk about some of those tools, in particular about working with difficulty, because it is not always possible, based on the habits, the conditioning of our mind, it is not always possible to simply settle back and say, oh, aversion is happening. That's what's going on. Sometimes the aversion is stronger than our ability to be mindful of it. And so we need to learn some ways to, or we need to learn when we can use this tool of just receive, just be with, and when we need to bring in something else, something more directive, something more active. But the basic instruction is that of just settle back and receive, be with it if you can. And so that's where we'll begin today, with that instruction. And then today, tomorrow, later today, tomorrow, I can start talking about working with some challenges. So as you noticed, I'm kind of giving a Dharma talk this morning more than in a guided meditation right now. And that is partly to orient us all to this form of practice. Many of you I see have done this. You know, I see you've been on these retreats before or been on the other retreats, and so this is familiar for you, this is a review for you, but there are quite a few of you, I think, for the first time hearing this kind of instruction, so I'm going to offer it in some depth this morning. So this morning is kind of more about orienting to this style of practice. So the first piece in terms of orienting to those simple instructions that Syed offers: relax, recognize that you're aware, notice what's obvious, and check the relationship from time to time. I'm going to go through each of those pieces a little bit. Relax. Relaxation is such a valuable tool for any form of meditation, any kind of practice that we do. We can begin by just checking in. You know, is the body relaxed? Letting, perhaps, you know, kind of scanning through the body and relaxing areas of the body. As the body, there's a very kind of tight correlation between body and mind. And when the mind is tense, the body often follows and is tense. And the body can also tense up and it can feed back into the mind. And so beginning with the body, relaxing the body, that can have an effect, an impact on the mind. As we relax the body, it helps the mind to be able to relax. So we can begin with a little bit of relaxation of body. And then as the body relaxes, the mind can relax a little bit. And as the mind relaxes, you know, the mind relaxing, it's hard to describe, you know, what that is. An analogy that Gill offers that's interesting that we'll use this morning later when we do a meditation. Having relaxed the body, you know, kind of thinking, catching into various parts of the body, relaxing the body. Gill sometimes says, you know, and then, you know, after you've relaxed the body, thinking of the brain as if the brain were a muscle, you know, maybe the brain can relax. If there's any kind of a response there, you know, that's a sense of what it means for the mind to relax. Just relax the brain. You don't need to work so hard. Don't need to be thinking so much, trying, remembering, planning. That kind of activity is a kind of a mental tension. So that can be released and the mind can be relaxed. So as the body relaxes, as the mind relaxes, what seems to happen, so that creates conditions as the body relaxes, as the mind relaxes, it creates conditions for essentially for this capacity that we have to be aware. I could say that wise mindfulness is related to, is a cousin to the capacity we have to know what's happening in the present moment while it's happening. This is a natural human capacity to be self-reflectively aware. I can know that I'm sitting here in this room in this moment. That itself is not wise mindfulness. I would say it's a form of mindfulness, but wise mindfulness brings in not just knowing what's happening, but also that, I would say, that curiosity of what is this human experience that's happening right now, as opposed to a perspective of, oh, this is what's happening right now, how can I get more of it? Or this is what's happening right now, let me change it because it's not feeling good. But just, oh, this is what's happening right now. This is how it's affecting the body. This is how it's affecting the mind. Not liking is happening right now. That's what that experience is like. So that's not, that perspective is not what we've been trained to do with that capacity to be self-reflectively aware. What we've typically been trained to do is to act on getting something that's pleasant when we become self-reflectively aware, or get something, getting rid of something we don't like. And so that capacity to be self-reflectively aware is very natural. And then we need to train the interest that makes it right mindfulness, that makes it wise attention. But the capacity for that self-reflective awareness becomes much more present and available when the body and mind are relaxed. And so the body relax, the mind relax, and if you're exploring that relaxation with the intention towards moving towards curiosity about what's happening in this moment, curiosity of what it's like to be a human being in this moment, then the wise mindfulness can be a very natural response from that relaxation. And so relaxation creates the conditions for us to be very naturally aware. I use the word awareness to mean mindfulness in this class, basically. Some teachers use awareness to mean different things. So I use awareness to mean mindfulness. So relaxing the body, relaxing the mind, that creates the conditions for a very natural awareness. So we don't have to do it. It's just can be very naturally arising. And so the next piece is to begin to be curious. Am I aware? What does it mean to be aware right now? Are you aware? If you're listening, hearing that question, then you are aware. Now, the experience of recognizing awareness, that's a little subtler. And yet, just knowing in this moment, are you aware? If you're asking that question, thinking that question in a reflective way, you are aware. That's enough. You can recognize, yes, awareness is here. And over time, with that simple kind of checking in, is there awareness? Yes, there's awareness. With that simple checking in, we get more and more familiar with the actual experience of what it is to be aware. And that's useful. It's useful to recognize that state of awareness. So that is not always the most natural thing. And so the next thing we check in is like, so, okay, I know I'm aware. I don't know how I know I'm aware. I know I'm aware. But then what is obvious? What is awareness aware of? Body sensation, sight, sound, maybe smells or tastes. In our daily lives, this will be the whole host of our senses. So what are you aware of? What am I aware of? What is obvious is a good question here, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we kind of think, well, what am I aware of? And just like settle back and just see. It might be a different kind of experience. Sometimes we think of being aware of specific things, like, well, am I aware of a body sensation? Am I aware of the pressure of my hips on the chair? But it might actually be a broader experience. Like, I'm aware of myself sitting in the room. I'm aware of seeing the space. I'm aware of hearing and feeling my body at the same time. So the experience that we have when we just kind of open to, I'm aware and what's happening, the obvious experience may not be something that we're used to kind of landing with and recognizing as an experience. In our meditation, we train, yes, I recognize, land with the breath. I know that it's a breath. I know a particular body sensation. And that does happen at times when we open to, am I aware? Sometimes it's like, yeah, I'm really aware of that sensation in my knee right now. Or the dog is barking, and I'm really aware that the dog is barking right now. So there's certain times when there's that very clear object of awareness. But other times when it's more just, I know that I'm sitting here. That's okay. In fact, that kind of recognition of what I'm aware of is really useful in our daily lives, because often in our daily lives, there's a much broader sense of what we're aware of. So don't discount those broad experiences, thinking somehow I need to precisely know what the object is, or it doesn't count as mindfulness. So broad experience of walking across the parking lot to get into the Safeway. That's what I'm aware of right now. Just be with whatever is most obvious. And as we cultivate that continuity or that capacity to be aware, different kinds of experiences will become clear. At times there'll be the broader experience, and at times it'll be much more precise. And yep, I know exactly the sensation in my toe right now. So that kind of the difference in objects, this form of practice can open us to a whole host of kinds of experiences that we can be aware of that we may not have been familiar with practicing with before. So that's that part about recognizing awareness and noticing what's obvious, being with what we are aware of. So relax, recognize awareness and what we're aware of. It's useful also to reflect a little bit at this point on how we encourage mindfulness. So a light touch of effort. Often in practice, I think we are aiming at or holding on to mindfulness through the very, in sitting meditation, we can do that. We can bring our trying to be mindful, because that's all we're doing in our sitting practice. We are cultivating that. So we can keep remembering, coming back to the breath, pay attention to the breath, look more closely at the breath. In our daily lives, and also an interesting way to explore in our sitting practice is less focus, less sense of trying to do the mindfulness, and more just a kind of a gentle receiving, like, okay, what's being received right now? And how about right now? And not trying to hold on to any object, but just what's here right now? And then the next moment. It's not very hard in a moment if I ask you, like, right now, are you aware? And can you notice the sensations of your feet? Often when I mention that, there they are, feet. Can you notice the sensations of your hands right now? Happens often, just as I say it. So it's not hard to be aware for a moment, but it is more challenging to sustain it. And that's a lot, I think, where we get tense and tight in our practice, is trying to hold on to mindfulness and often to try to hold on to a particular object. In this practice, we just have enough attention to be present for this moment, whatever's obvious in this moment. That's the effort we make. Just enough to be aware of this moment. And then do it again. That's the effort, remembering the next moment, but not trying to hold on to anything in particular. So the experience may change pretty rapidly from moment to moment. One moment you may be aware of hearing something, and then the next moment a body sensation, the next moment a thought. And so the just noticing, there's the awareness and what is obvious. Just enough effort to be present for that moment, and then doing it again, and not holding on or trying to expect that there's going to be the same object moment to moment. So that experience of having a different object moment to moment, that can be a little unsettling if you're not so familiar with the receptive kind of practice. Again, with mindfulness, familiar ways of practicing mindfulness where we land with an object, that often settles the mind down. We have a sense of less going on. It's quite pleasant at times. And with this kind of practice, the experience of being aware and the attention kind of moving from thing to thing, sometimes when people first experience that, they think they're not being mindful because the mind is picking up on different experiences. Perhaps it feels jumpy, or it feels like the mind is wandering around different experiences. If you are aware, the mind wandering means it becomes not aware. If you are aware that it's doing this process of shifting from experience to experience, you're mindful. But it feels different. It's got a different flavor to it. So it can take some time to adjust to that. And this is where kind of settling back and recognizing, well, I know that I'm aware, is really helpful. I know that I'm aware. It's just there's a lot of things going on. Do I know that I'm aware? Yep. I'm asking that question. I have no idea how I know I'm aware, but I'm asking that question. So there is awareness here. So it begins to help us recognize that quality of awareness itself. So awareness is what becomes stable in this practice. That's why it's so useful to begin to recognize awareness itself, being mindful itself. What is it to be that self-reflectively aware with this capacity to just be curious? What is that experience like? So we explore that stability. And that stability of mindfulness moment to moment, that is what concentration is in this practice. Concentration in this practice has a different feeling than concentration in a one-pointed practice. In a one-pointed practice where we're staying with a particular object like the breath over and over again, mindfulness stabilizes and the object stabilizes, and there's a quality of stillness in the mind there that's got a particular flavor to it. With this kind of practice, there begins to be the stillness of awareness or the stability of awareness, but objects do not get still. There's the rapidly changing experience that can be known by this stable mindfulness. So that experience has a different quality to it than the stability of the concentration on a particular object like the breath. So that's another thing that we need to kind of shift and get familiar with. What is it like to have that stability of mindfulness? But that is a form of concentration. It's called moment-to-moment concentration. The concentration, the stability of mindfulness moment to moment. And it's very powerful, because that stability of mindfulness moment to moment begins to reveal, point out to us how our minds do what they do. So that is the kind of the foundation for the learning around how reactivity even begins to arise and what happens as we are reactive. That's where the learning happens, with this moment-to-moment mindfulness, seeing the conditions that come into play as something arises, as we get reactive, noticing that, for instance, you know, noticing that that reactivity is, yes, it's responding to what's here, but it's also responding to something that happened to me when I was 5 years old. And it's more about that reactivity when I was 5 years old than it is about what's actually happening now. So we can see that. And in seeing that, there's an option for a new response. So we've explored relax, recognize awareness. What am I aware of? The last instruction, notice the relationship from time to time. I'll just talk about that for just a moment, and we'll explore that a little bit more later this afternoon. This is just that, you know, that as we receive experience, sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, there is usually some kind of a response to it. Things are pleasant, we like them. Things are unpleasant, we don't like them. Things are neutral, we may not even notice them, a kind of confusion. And so, what is the relationship to what's happening? That's going on in the mind. And very often that relationship to what's happening is kind of behind the scenes. We're not so consciously aware of it. That behind the scenes, not so consciously aware of not liking or liking or greed or aversion, that begins to drive the show when we're not aware of it. Another benefit of being aware of these things. If we can become aware that greed is happening, that aversion is happening, there's a little more option in terms of how we are in relationship to it. And so this particular instruction, noticing what's here, and then how am I in relationship to it? Do I like it? Do I not like it? Do I want something to happen? Do I not want something to happen? Am I confused about what's happening? Or is there a sense of balance, of ease, of peace? So we can say those are just different flavors of attitude, and four basic flavors of attitude we have. The flavors based on liking of greed, flavors based on not liking, on aversion, flavors based on confusion, delusion, and then the flavor based on wisdom, curiosity, interest, connection, patience, lots of different flavors that are connected, that the mind can be in relationship to. This is okay. This is what's happening, and it's okay. That's a relationship that we can notice. And so there is this encouragement to, from time to time, be curious about how am I in relationship to what's happening? But you don't have to be looking for some kind of reactivity there. You know, it doesn't have to be liking or not liking or greed or aversion or confusion or delusion. It might be, oh, it's okay. And that's useful too, because seeing that okayness is feedback. When we actually recognize, wow, I'm okay with what's happening. Sometimes that can be surprising. It's like, oh yeah, there's nothing wrong here. That state of nothing wrong is actually one that we sometimes miss, because we're looking for something more obvious. We're looking for something more dramatic. So sometimes just, yeah, it's okay. And that checking in, what is it like, you know, to have that okayness? So this checking the attitude is basically to allow us to start to see something that might not have been seen, might not have been obvious. So, well, what's happening right now? Okay, there's this thing going on. The sound is continuing, and there's a subtle kind of wishing it would go away. Okay, well, so sound is happening and wishing it would go away is happening. So the wishing it would go away has just become now another part of what is available for us to know. We don't have to do anything in particular with it in that moment. Just allowing that curiosity of, oh, okay, yeah, this is what it's like to be a human being that's wishing something would go away. That's all we need to do with it. Unless, of course, as I said earlier, you know, whatever is happening behind the scenes, it's like, wow, there's this screaming aversion going on. And as soon as I try, or as soon as I notice it, it's like the mind just gets so overwhelmed with it. Then we might need to do something else, might need to shift our attention or find a way to navigate that, which I'll talk about later in the day. So, the noticing the attitude, sometimes people say, what do I do when I notice the attitude? Well, just notice that that's the next thing that's there. Keep going with aware and what's obvious. What's obvious given that I've actually now seen that not wanting something to continue is going on? What's obvious there? Oh, there's some tension in the body. Okay, that's happening. Just notice the next thing.